podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. First one back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birds to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show, lead the pen. Get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to episode 212 of Leave the Pen Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan. Got my co-host, Scott. Scott, I got to tell you what, it is really nice to be kind of off the interview train and just kind of get back to chatting some golf with you. So what's going on, buddy?
It's the triumphant return, as they say. And much like the PGA Tour has started its season anew, Leave the Pin Podcast will start the new year anew.
So. You know, it's funny, Scott. We have a lot of comebacks.
We do. But like LL said, don't call it a comeback.
Yeah, for sure. We don't talk much pro golf, but I mean, quite honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of excited to watch the Century from Hawaii. You know, I'm pounded with snow. I got 11 and a half inches. What'd you get at your house?
About the same.
Yeah, just absolutely stupid. I know you weren't home for the majority of the weekend out at a dance competition. Were you moving and shaking?
I was not. I kind of found a nice spot in the hotel lobby where I could read a book, watch the Jet game on my tablet, and just kind of hang out. My daughter, on the other hand, and her team, they did spectacularly well. As their first competition, they came in sixth. They got high gold, which is, I guess, like the second best rating you can get.
So okay.
It's pretty darn good.
All right. There you go. And how about, first off, congratulations to her and the rest of the team. That's fantastic. How about those, as they say, Scott, those goddamn Jets?
You know, well, here's the thing. Season's done. Now they have a few months to get our hopes up and promptly dash them once the season starts. So,
you know, sometimes it's so much easier being a golf fan. Because if you are a fan of a player, you kind of understand that the player is, for the most part, probably not going to win that often. You know, Tiger at his peak was like 26-27%, which is astronomical. Chris Kirk just won the Century yesterday, and I believe that was his sixth win in 309 starts. Not a great ratio, Scott.
No, but here's the thing. So in golf, you like, I don't know about you, but I'm fans of multiple players
for sure.
So there's a pretty good chance one of them's gonna win or do pretty well. You know, like just looking at the leaderboard, top five, there's three or four guys there that if they would have won, I would have been like, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what's crazy though. You have a favorite golfer, let's say. Let's just say your favorite golfer is Jordan Spieth. You had a great time watching him yesterday. Shoot 65. Typical Jordan Spieth round, had ups and downs, a roller coaster. He got plugged in the bunker, had a chip out sideways, just missed an eagle putt to tie at the end. A great round. You're not upset that Jordan Spieth didn't win, right? You watched, you enjoyed. Yeah, maybe you're a little bit disappointed. You would love for him to rack up another win. But for the most part, if you're a Jordan Spieth fan, you're very happy that Jordan Spieth performed well. If you're a baseball or a football fan or a basketball fan, you're pissed when your team loses. But Scott, we're the opposite. I was pissed the Jets won yesterday. I'm pissed that they won seven games this year.
So, yes. The only reason I wasn't upset was it's nice to hand Bill Belichick a loss in what was potentially his last game.
That's always, always nice. And if we remember correctly, and those that aren't Jets fans, the Jets brought Tom Brady into the league. Mo Lewis destroyed Drew Bledsoe on a sideline. Tom Brady came in. The rest was history. Terrorized the league for 20-plus years. So you can thank us for that. You can thank us for most of the bad things that happened in the NFL. Scott, I wanted to ask you this one question. Have you ever wore a blade collar polo?
I think that that's an item that only looks good on a certain body type and not mine.
So Scott, no. what type of body type actually looks good in a blade polo?
That's a good question.
Spieth wore one yesterday. And I'm telling you what, I know they sell because I know they're out there.
Yep.
If you wear one, I don't want to say that I'm cutting on you, but I got to tell you what, I think it's the stupidest trend in golf. And I don't know which is worse, Scott. Maybe you tell me. A turtleneck like Tiger used to wear, you know, or the Blade polo, like that mock neck compression shirt that counted as a golf shirt that Tiger wore, or these Blade polos that are out there. What's worse, bud?
So here's the my take on it is that that kind of, you mentioned what kind of body type, Tiger. That's pretty much it. That stuff all looked good on him, and anybody else who tried it, it didn't really work.
Yeah,
I like the mock turtleneck on Tiger.
See, I don't. You know, let me tell you something that's funny. There was a tournament at Shawnee a while back. Now, when I say while back, I'm talking probably 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I know this sounds crazy, but I won the long drive at this tournament. We may have played in this tournament together, Scott. I don't know. Okay, but I won the long drive, and I won $50 to the Shawnee Pro Shop. Literally, they had nothing in there that I wanted at all. Mm-hmm. Because all the polos were super expensive. I didn't want to put any money towards it. And I went to the sale rack. Well, there's my first problem. I go to the sale rack. And of course, everything is like XL or double or triple XL. I can't fit into that. And they have a mock neck, baby blue, Shawnee, size small. I don't even know what to call it. Shirt. It's not a polo. You know, mock neck shirt. And I bought it, Scott. And I wore it once to play and vowed never again to wear anything like that. Mm. I promptly just threw it away.
Might look good like under a quarter zip, like in weather. You know, like
maybe if your quarter zip is zipped up to your neck.
In like the fall, just so you have like a little warmth on your neck. I don't know.
That's me. I'm not a fan. And I get it. Like, again, I know we say this all the time. If someone paid me whatever, $2 million a year to wear clothing, guess what? I'd wear that out, you know, onto a course. I'm cool with that.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you didn't watch any of the Century. I know last year, both of us, we were kind of a bit disenfranchised, not only with the PGA Tour, but golf as a whole. And I know, you know, between both of us, we definitely cut down on our professional golf viewing, as well as talking about on the podcast. But Scott, as Leave the Pin has been renewed in this, you know, year of 2024, I kind of feel like personally I had this renewed interest. And I don't know if it's because it was snowing out and I was kind of stuck inside and started this fantasy golf league with this other podcast, Chasing Daylight Podcast. They asked me to join. I joined it. Drew, my youngest son, the audio tech, he joined it as well. So we kind of got, you know, some interest in it. But I'm in on the ground floor. I'm in on the first event, and I'm really going to try hard this year to get back to my old ways of watching golf.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even think about watching it, obviously, because I was in the middle of Dance Dance Fever.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear some PGA Tour radio this morning, and they were talking about how awesome Kisner was. And for the first time in a really long time, I kind of got like a little bit of like, I wish I had watched. So I know he's not going to be doing every game, you know, every tournament, but it's definitely something that would, you know, push me towards it. So
I am more than happy that you and I single-handedly killed off Paul Azinger's career in terms of TV host and analyst. I was a little bit hesitant on Kiz because he is someone that is still out playing. Like, he's playing this week. You know?
Yeah.
He's gonna feel this week. We don't know when we're going to get him. We don't know how long we're going to get him. We don't know if we're going to get him on Saturday and Sunday if he misses the cut. I didn't know if he was going to be able to be completely honest towards the players that are out there because he's got to see those guys in the locker room. You know, that's a tough scene to criticize. Right. But then have to see those guys like Zinger and all those guys that do it for a living full time or did it as a living full time. You know, they really didn't have to interact with those guys. They could go 3-4 months without seeing them. You know, time heals all wounds. You say something about someone in January, they're playing great in May. They don't care anymore. But Kiz has got to be in and around those guys, player dining, playing practice rounds, playing actual tournament rounds, and then see him in the lockers. And I'll tell you what, good on him. I was really happy with how honest he was. He cut into Jordan Spieth a few times for some kind of bonehead decisions, not hitting the greatest shots. And if I was Kiz, I would say to people, you know, like if I was criticizing you, Scott, you know, I'd be like, look, dude, they're paying me to do it. Like, I'm being brutally honest. Nothing I wouldn't tell you to your face.
Well, here's the other thing is, and this, one of the ideas that came up on the radio was like, hey, they should get someone who's not in the field every week and offer him money to do it. And you know what? There's your best insulation, right? So then it's like, all right, fine. Like, yeah, I said stuff, but in 2 weeks you can go on and you can talk about me, you know, like it's all in good fun. It's all, you know, to be honest, we're not trying to, you know, I doubt he was trying to embarrass anyone. He's just out there talking golf.
Yeah. I heard Andy on the Fried Egg this morning talk about how it might be a cool idea, like you said, just to get random people in and kind of give everyone a test drive behind the wheel. I don't know what the deal was, what they signed Kiz to. I don't know what the contract was or anything along those lines. But, you know, honestly, it would be pretty neat to get, you know, a variety of guys and maybe not just guys that have been on tour for a little bit. Like, I truly would love to hear the mindset of some younger guys. You know, like, look, like, I know you're not going to get, like, Sahith or Akshay or guys like that in the booth because, you know, they're really trying to make a name for themselves. But how awesome would it be to get like Morikawa for a weekend when he misses the cut, or to get someone like Spieth, who's entertaining as all hell when he's out there playing, talking to himself? Imagine him and Greller in the booth together.
Well, you could almost like, I don't watch Monday Night Football, the regular broadcast anymore. I only watch the Manning cast.
Okay.
Right? Just do, you could even, and again, like, do it like that. Have just Greller and Spieth, have JT and Ricky Fowler, or JT and Spieth, you know, guys who get along, just have them do their thing and, you know, kind of give them free rein to call golf the way they want to hear it called.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. And honestly, like with the PGA Tour's money, well, I mean, granted, they're losing the hand over fist now, but with their reach and their social media reach, that should not be something that would be that difficult to do. And quite honestly, maybe that's something that just sparks someone else's interest in the PGA Tour, not only because of the golf, but because of who they have announcing. There's a lot of people that love the Mannings, and sometimes it's not even because of football. It's because they've hosted a talk show, or they hosted a game show. And now people are drawn in to watch Monday Night Football because of their connection. Maybe we should be looking in that direction. And I'm not talking about like, you know, they had Marshawn Lynch at that Netflix Cup that you and I watched a little bit of. Like, he was high as hell. That was all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not talking about someone like him. I'm talking someone that's articulate, someone that can actually string together sentences, someone that isn't going to show up high as, you know, F to an actual television event.
Exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. And again, like, there's enough ex-athletes who are into golf. You know, there's actors. I mean,
everyone, Scott. Like, that's the thing. Like, everyone gets into it at some point in time. You know, the tour was promoting Owen Wilson because he was out at Kapalua. You know, and of course, the tour goes overboard with this crap. Like, that's the one thing. If we want to hate on the tour, they can't just throw like a post or a story or a reel. You know, it's got to be everything for the next 2 or 3 days. Like, Owen Wilson was out here, and every second of Owen Wilson walking around and him videoing people, you know, has to go on there. Social media feed, which drives me nuts. It's not organic. They try to force feed people so much stuff.
Yeah, well, that's their MO.
It is their MO. Scott, I wanted to ask you, what's someone said to me at work today, I don't remember what the winning score was, 29 under par or something like that.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah, par 73, so there's that extra stroke, you know, in all four rounds anyway. Someone said to me at work, they said, oh my God, like, that guy must have played lights out. He shot 29 under par for the tournament. Where do you stand with these tournaments that, you know, I mean, quite honestly, the guys just destroy the courses.
Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah. Who cares? That's how it is.
They're all playing the same course. It's not like he went out and shot 29 under on, you know, the course across the street and Spieth had to play Kapalua. Like,
Yeah.
It is what it is. You go out, you play the course, you put up a number. The guy after you goes out, plays the course, puts up a number. If I put up a lower number than you, I win. You put up a lower number than me, you win. Congrats. That's the way game works. And honestly, the other thing is next week, the winning score is going to be 12 under. And then a month from now, it'll be 6 under. And then we'll have a major and it'll be 3 under. Like it just is what it is.
Tried to explain to people today that they are out. Yes, they're playing a PGA Tour event. Yes, they're playing a PGA Tour course. But they are playing a resort course, right? People do not fly to Hawaii to want to get the crap kicked out of them at Kapalua. They play Kapalua because it's shown every year in January on TV, right, at the Century, Tournament of Champions. They play it because the fairways are friggin' 150 yards wide. You can't miss it. I mean, literally, you could be a 40 handicap. You can't miss these fairways unless you're topping a ball into, you know, the reeds. You're playing it for the elevation changes. You know, you're playing it for the scenery. It's not a U.S. Open venue, right? And even these greens, Scott, I mean, you know, they're enormous. So it's not like they're asking you to fit a ball between a bunker and a back pin and giving you 12 feet. It's not happening. I could go out right now, and if we had a hot putting day, shoot something extremely close to par. So it's no wonder that guys that are the 0.001 best percentage in the world are going to go shoot 29 under.
Even U.S. Open courses aren't always U.S. Open courses. Look at Pebble Beach. Correct. They have the Pro-Am there. The winning score on that will be like 20 under, and then sometimes they have the U.S. Open the same year. And it's significantly lower. It's all in how they trick out the course.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Nope. You're 100% spot on with that. There's no argument from me at all.
And I guess if that's what they want, the tournament directors or whoever, if they want a birdie fest, they can set the course up that way.
Yep.
I'm cool with that. Again, they still got to go out there and score. So people still missed the cut.
Well,
not in this one, but you know.
Yes,
what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it's interesting. I get it. You know, I was telling my youngest son last night. I said, you know, because they're coming down the stretch, and he's like, oh, like he's gonna have to go burgle. He's gonna have to go birdie eagle. Maybe we'll start calling it that. You have to go birdie eagle in order to tie. He's like, you know, it kind of stinks. Like it's not fun when there's no chance of making bogey. And I just kind of relayed to him. I said, that's fine, but take par out of the equation, right? He's got to go 3-3 to finish. Okay, so regardless of what it was, it could be two par threes for someone. He's got to go 3-3. I mean, that's the whole thing, you know? So at a course like that, it's not bogey par. It now becomes par birdie, you know, is like what the norm should be. So it's just what is the norm that week. And that's why they play so often, have so many different courses, because there are guys that play real well on penal courses, and then there are guys that are thriving on, you know, bomb and gouge courses.
Yep, and bogey's never really out of the equation. I mean...
Yeah, it's true. Akshay started his round with a lost ball yesterday, made double, I believe.
You know,
took him right out of it.
Bad swing, little bit of putting yips... You know, stuff happens, and that's why they actually play.
Yes. I will say in a tournament like this, you get to the 18th hole, and then let's say you're up a stroke. I mean, quite honestly, there's not much trouble on a hole like that, you know, but not every single tournament needs to be that way, you know, and which is cool. We have variety. That's the great thing about golf, is every week is different. It's not like the NBA where every single arena is the same and every rim is at 10 feet. Of height, you know, that's one of the cool things for what I want to talk to you about next. Oh, I saw this thing, golf.com senior managing editors or whatever title they give themselves there, had an article about player of the year. Scottie Scheffler won player of the year. I don't really think there's too many people that would argue with that for the most part, but he won it over Jon Rahm, and people thought maybe Jon Rahm should win. And they were saying, you know, God, it's probably because Jon Rahm is going to live or went to live, you know, but people knew he was going to live. And the guy said, no, look, like I polled people. They get about 30 to 40% of the entire PGA Tour that votes on this player of the year. You think that's kind of BS, Scott?
Kind of BS.
Not the fact that they get 30, 40%, but that they're giving it out with only 30 to 40% of the vote. Do you think there should be a different way to do it?
So here's the question. Is it like 30 to 40% of everyone who has some status?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a lot of people. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't. What I don't get is I really think it's one of those things that they freaking like send an email out and people just, you know, like click yes or no.
Right. Exactly.
Very interesting to see that the PGA Tour kind of operates the same way most businesses do.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like, and like you almost wonder is like, you know, I'll use Kevin Kisner. Is he sitting there and they're like, oh, Scottie Scheffler won player of the year. Is it time to vote for that? And they're like, yeah, we sent that email. And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't see that email.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he's one of those guys that like completely always deletes emails and stuff, you know? Yeah. And they're like, hey, did you get around to voting? Yeah. I did vote. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Totally. Oh, it didn't go through. Oh man.
I love that. I love, you know, picturing someone going up to Rory and being like, hey, Rory, who'd you vote for player of the year? And he's like, yeah. I'm going to keep that to myself.
Again, like, and I do wonder, like, is it anyone who has any kind of status or, like, do you have to have played, like, 20 tournaments or something like that? I'm a little curious about who is eligible to vote for player of the year.
Yeah, I should text Brent Grant now and ask him.
Yeah, I was gonna say we have enough people that we could probably reach out to and find out.
Let's do that live. We'll do a voice text so people know I'm actually doing it. Hey, bro, comma, you get to vote for PGA Tour Player of the Year? Question mark. All right, see if he answers us live on the pod. Another chapter, Scott. Just like there's many chapters in the Leave the Pin saga, we've been doing this since 2019. Our boy, Eldrick Tont Woods, has yet another chapter in his career. He is leaving the almighty swoosh. Scott, where's he going?
I actually don't even know. I didn't even hear.
Oh, my God.
I heard he was leaving Nike, but I didn't hear where he was going.
All right. Well, no one knows where he's going. So he made kind of a cryptic post. Let me read it to you, Scott. You tell this is good. You haven't seen this, so
okay.
So you tell me what you get out of this. This is Tiger now. Tiger's own words. Okay. For over 27 years, we've had the honor to partner with Tiger. Sorry, Scott. I'm reading the wrong thing right here. That's the wrong. That's what Nike said. I don't care about that. Here's Tiger. Over 27 years ago, I was fortunate to start a partnership with one of the most iconic brands in the world. The days since have been filled with so many amazing moments and memories. If I started naming them, I could go on forever. Phil Knight's passion and vision brought this Nike and Nike Golf partnership together, and I want to personally thank him along with the Nike employees and incredible athletes I have had the pleasure of working with along the way. And after that, he stated that there will be another chapter. That was his, he said, certainly there will, people will ask if there is another chapter. Certainly, there will be another chapter. See you in L.A., Tiger. It is cryptic. His manager said that it is definitely, you know, the end of the partnership. People have rumored everything from a small brand to his own brand to FootJoy, you know, this, that, and the other. I look at it this way, Scott. It's got to be someone with money.
Of course.
You're not getting Tiger on the cheap. So all these people that are like, oh, maybe he'll go to Grayson Clothers or maybe he'll go to, you know, Jay Lindbergh or something like that. Like, yeah, those places are doing well, but I don't think they're doing Tiger Woods well.
No, because even though he doesn't really play that much, he's still Tiger Woods.
Yes. Hey, podcast patrons. Real quick break in the episode here. I want to talk to you about Big Wings Golf Apparel. They've just become the official glove and proud sponsor of us, Leave the Pin Podcast. We all know how important a comfortable glove and good grip are for the golf swing. And like us, you're probably tired of overpaying for gloves at the pro shop right before your round of golf, or getting some crap glove that's overpriced at Golf Galaxy, or pulling something out of your bag that's stiff as a board because it's you sweated through it and you left it in there for 2 weeks before you played again. Well, thankfully, Big Wings Golf Apparel has the solution. Go visit bigwingsgolf.com before your next round for all your golf glove and apparel needs. Experience unmatched comfort and a perfect grip with these premium Cabretta leather gloves and feel the difference with every swing. Big Wings Golf Apparel, where craftsmanship meets performance. Again, that's bigwingsgolf.com, and you, our listeners, can use code LTP for 10% off your first order. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast.
Interesting. Let's look. Largest publicly owned companies headquartered in Los Angeles County. Well, the only one that's relevant in this top 10 would be Skechers.
What if he goes the Tony Romo route and starts promoting Skechers rocker walking shoes, Scott?
I mean, he's got all that, you know, the bad feet and all that. He's getting a little bit older.
He's got bad everything, Scott.
You know, he's you know, he's got the dad market. I don't think Skechers can afford Tiger Woods, but
oh my god!
At this point, I wouldn't be entirely surprised.
It's yeah, dude. It's crazy. He says see you in L.A. You know, I'm assuming he means at Riv. I'm assuming that means it's the first tournament he's going to play. I mean, yeah. He hosts it. You know, he's the de facto host. He, you know, gives out the tournament trophy and all that stuff. Yeah, there's been so much talk. I tell you what, as a guy like Tiger, he doesn't necessarily need the money. So it would be awesome if it was like a big F you and he's just signed with this small little brand or something like that. Because here's the deal. If you're talking actual clothing value and this idiot goes off and creates his own brand, it's going to be the worst clothing in the world. Tiger Woods, in my opinion, is only second to Michael Jordan in worst dressed athletes.
I mean, short of the mock neck shirt, I think I agree with you. Some of those like early outfits, the like baggy pants and the baggy polos, like those are awful.
The pleated baggy pants.
Yeah.
Someone posted a picture of Tiger, and I want to say it was probably circa like 98, 99, right? So he's got the Masters under his belt, the historic Masters under his belt. He's got a bunch of other wins on his way to doing the Tiger Slam. You know, it's kind of like right pre-Tiger Slam, and it's him chipping. It's him chipping in his big khaki pleated pants with his big oversized white polo on and, you know, kind of a normal hat. And I messaged the guy on Instagram, and I just said, I'm going to tell my kids this was MC Hammer learning how to play golf.
You probably could have fit MC Hammer into those pants with Tiger.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt. It's awful. You know, what I'm curious about is the behind-the-scenes workings of this deal. And what I mean by that is this. Nike was the single company that stayed with Tiger Woods through everything. Adulterous affairs, wife knocking out his back window with a 9-iron, DUI, behind the wheel intoxication due to drug use, you know, sex rehab, you name it, whatever Tiger Woods went through and all that stuff, which there's listeners of this podcast that don't even know half the stuff that Tiger Woods went through. You and I have been with him since his amateur days. So it's amazing to me that this relationship ends and it is because of Tiger, right? I just can't see him letting them go because of how much they've supported him. So it leads me to kind of think like, okay, maybe Nike Golf as a whole might be going out the window, and he just wants to get ahead of it, right? And say, hey, this partnership is ending. It was great. Instead of like Scheffler, Rory, maybe in another month or two, or just like, oh yeah, man, damn, we're getting dropped.
That's probably my guess, to be honest with you, is that they're just done, and the contract was up, and it was just, all right, let's bag it. I mean, again, I think he's big enough to kind of do his own thing, so that most likely that'll probably be what happens, is my guess. Set something up, and then that's a thing that he can kind of, not that, you know, his kids are going to want for money going forward, but it's a something his kids will have. It's kind of a legacy thing. So
I had to Google if Phil Knight was still alive.
Phil Knight's still alive.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that old even.
75. No. Scott, he was born in 38.
Oh, is he that old?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay, wow. 85 years old. I didn't think he was that old.
I took 10 years off for him, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at current pictures of him, you can definitely tell he looks 85.
Hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, that's a great life. Now, he stepped down in June of 2015. So you're looking at 9 years now, well, 8.5 years, that he has not been the CEO or the company's chairman.
Right, but that's by choice. I mean, it's, you know, he could, he's probably got enough Nike stock that he's still in control, even though he's not sitting on the board or doing any of that stuff. Or he's obviously sitting on the board, but he's not the chairman.
Yeah, as of 2 years ago, his net worth was $60.8 billion, with a B, dollars.
Hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Phil, he's done well for himself.
Yeah, I would say, after making the bottoms of shoes out of a waffle maker from his car.
Hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah track meets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that. Oh, let's see. Brent Grant got back to me. Dude, the PGA Tour is a regular friggin' work job. It's a regular workplace, Scott. He says, I think so. Ha ha. Can't remember if I voted or not.
That's terrific.
I fucking love that. The PGA Tour is literally the same job that you work at.
Completely. it baffles the mind.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal. That's so good. That is so good. Oh, there you go, people. There's you want some real world, you know, background on what we do here on this podcast? There you go. Even PGA Tour players don't remember if they voted for Player of the Year.
Not a clue.
Oh God, that's great. You know what we didn't talk about, Scott? We haven't talked about any yearly goals. Maybe we did. What the hell? I don't remember. We're talking about any what yearly goals for you? What you know? Not that you got to set golf resolutions, you know, New Year's resolution, but what are your goals this year in golf?
I have a golf resolution. So
you have it written down? You're looking at something. You have it written down?
No. So I don't have it written down, but I'm going to. I'll share. This is my last range session. It's probably on there.
Now I can see. Yeah.
But that's, you know, I just went to the range with kind of five clubs and picked targets and just went at it. So obviously as you know, get closer in, the dispersion's a lot less, it's much smaller circles. So my goal is to tighten all of that up. It does give you a consistency score, which mine was 55. It was significantly higher before I broke out my 3-wood.
Okay, well, explain that consistency score to me. Is that based on 100, or what's that?
I'm going to assume it's based on 100, and it's based on like how close you are to like how
tight
that dispersion is.
Okay.
Is my guess. So, here's my thing. So all of my pitching wedge shots are kind of within like 5 yards of the target, right or left, and all kind of within, call it 8 yards.
Okay.
So that's obviously very consistent. Of my five drives, the majority of them are in the 210 range, and I would say in like
is that they give you carry or they give you total?
Total.
Okay. Do they give you the other specs as well, like launch angle, spin rate, ball speed, club head speed?
Yes, they do. So they do definitely do that. But so those so I had one drive that was 149 yards and another drive that was 240.
Okay, gotcha.
So the three that were kind of in the 210 range, that's my number.
Yes.
But sometimes I catch one and sometimes I don't.
Okay.
Now the one that I caught was 25 yards offline.
Pulled to the left or no?
Pulled, yep.
Yeah, I just figured that's where the extra distance comes from.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the one that I hit short was off to the left, kind of offline. And the ones that were consistent were either right on the line. There's one that's like right on it. And another one, the other two were kind of off to the right a little bit because I do still play that fade on purpose.
Yeah, well, so. I was gonna say, with people that you know are unfamiliar with your game, maybe new listeners, new followers of the podcast and the Instagram page, that Scott's natural ball flies left to right. I mean, has been since birth. It's in his golfing DNA.
It's not worth trying to change at this point.
No, not at all. I mean, he plays it wonderfully. But that is a miss that kind of took me by surprise. You missing to the left there, because I'm not sure I've seen that maybe more than five times in our entire golfing careers.
So that's my miss. So okay. Again, I do play the fade. Some if I miss right, it's because I lined up bad.
Yeah, is that more of an over missing left? Is that more of like an overcorrection of?
That's me trying to not do it.
Yes. Yeah. Understood. Understood.
Yeah. Which again, if I you know. If I could get that consistently and just figure out a good aim point, fine. But it's a little out of whack.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. You're coming to be a baller.
Yeah. I have between now and spring with data to kind of play around with and kind of keep track of improvement. So,
yeah, no, I like that a lot. And I think that's one of the great things for us in the Northeast, people in the Midwest, people in the, you know, the Great White North, obviously, that don't get to play year round, is you kind of actually get a built in time where you get to decompress, think about what you did in golf, set some goals. And then if you have the ability to get to a simulator or for you a range that happens to be open with technology like that, you know, you can actually sit down and kind of ascertain what the problems are. In cold, hard facts, not like, ooh, I think sometimes I do this or I think sometimes I do that. It actually allows you to see stats. And that's super important. I am not the best with that on my own because I am more of a field player. But with the boys, it's something that I've really tried to ingrain to them, you know, to make sure like, hey, you understand the tech. You know that tech can help. It's not everything. But you do understand it, and you know what these numbers mean, and then how to manipulate them and change things if need be.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So I was just looking. So the only number that I have is the pitching wedge. So the flat carry of my pitching wedge was 94 yards, total distance 96, an average of 13 feet offline to the left.
I mean, that's you know that plays anywhere.
Yep.
You know.
Yep, I can deal with that.
Well, one of my I got a few goals, nothing crazy. One of my goals is obviously to play more golf with you. You know, we played at a former former Smut Peddlers golf course, not to be named, a while back. That was it. I'd like to get some more, not necessarily rounds at great courses, you know, but just some good muni courses. Here's something I want to propose to you, Scott. This is a ways off, but before or maybe when we turn 50, I would like to reignite the flames of the golf trip. Now, I'm not saying Ocean City, Maryland again, like we used to do, right? That was a blast before, you know, you had, you know, before the Amster was born and when Lai was still kind of, you know, super young and stuff like that. He wasn't even, you know, or just born. He was something like that. But maybe go to like a real destination course or courses, if you will.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Anything is
possible. And I'm thinking a 50th birthday present to the two of us. Maybe that summer might be something to look into. It gives us plenty of time to plan.
Definitely.
And then my last goal is within an 18-hole round to break par within 18 holes. Yeah, I've done it within 9 holes last year. Truth be told, I hardly played any 18-hole rounds last year. I mean, I might have played maybe 15 or 20, and I played countless 9-hole rounds, and then I played I couldn't even fathom how many 3, 4, 5-hole, you know, rounds, whether that be a practice or whatnot.
Right. Yeah. If you're going out with a team and you're just, you know, we can hit and giggle for a few holes.
Yeah.
Yep. Gotcha.
But I would like to play more 18-hole rounds. I'd like to be semi-competitive. You know, I'd like to kind of get back somewhere to the old golf that I played, because Scott, right now, this is the realization I've come to. And this is, well, I shouldn't even say realization. It just slapped me in the face. The fact that I am obviously no longer the best golfer in the family. Okay, that's, we know that. That's okay. Like, legit, I can no longer, you know, maybe in 9 holes, you know, I'll catch him once every 10 rounds, but it's not even close anymore. But now Drew is aiming to surpass me. He's already longer than me off the tee. And that's frightening, Scott, because I'm going to be the third best golfer in the family. And we only have 3 golfers in the family.
I mean, I guess you're technically better than Allie and Charlotte.
Charlie. Yes. Yes. But see, they don't play. I'm not as good of a ball retriever as Charlie.
Well, there you go.
And quite honestly, I'm not even as good of a putter as Allie is.
Well, there you go. She's got you with a mini.
Got to step it up in 2024, Scotto. Got to step it up. And then if you're working your butt off like that, now I got you coming at me as well.
Right. Well, so here's my thing. It's like,
you're getting hit from all sides, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in the, like, I'm going to be breaking par anytime soon. I just want to be consistent enough that I know I can go out there where I'm going to hit the ball every time I step up to the tee.
Yes.
And just get to the point where it's like, it's not a guessing game.
Yes. Because then it becomes fun.
Exactly.
And it becomes, you know, really, really fun, which is cool.
You know, I want to win a B flight. That's what, yes, I want.
Yeah.
How many years is it since you won the club championship at Glenbrook?
Well, it's 2024, so now it's going on the 14th year, Scott. 2010. I think the trophy's back up here. Can you? There it is.
Yep, there it is.
Look at him, Scotto.
We should do like a re-release of like the shoes you had on in that day or something like that.
God, I can't remember. I don't even know.
How you even remember?
I tell you what, I do have. I'm looking straight across at our local newspaper's article on it, which is a picture of me teeing off on the 17th hole of par 5, and there's a rainbow coming out. Ah. Because in that second round, it poured. I have that framed along with the scores up there. It's my claim to fame, Scott. It's been downhill ever since.
Well, again, like, you got your one, and now you just get to go to the Champions Dinner every year.
Yeah, I'm like Sean McKeel, Michael Thompson, you know, one major, and I'm out. You know, my life's made. I'm good.
Yeah, there you go. Sean McKeel.
No one's getting that reference.
No.
And Michael Thompson won at Pinehurst, which is crazy. I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. That's freaking insane. Oh my god. We got anything else, buddy? Or are we good?
I think we're good, man. I do want to. You mentioned the F1, the Netflix Cup nonsense.
Yes.
All I'm gonna say is this, people. We know it's like months old, but if you did not watch that, do yourself a favor, keep it that way.
Take Scott's advice. All right, people, either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Take care, everyone.
Absolutely. It depends on the COR of the flagstick, so the coefficient restitution flagstick. In U.S. Opens, I'll take it out, and every other tour event when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce that ball against the flagstick if I need to.
Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days, but if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com.